What is one word you would use to describe a GFSS?
I should have read the questions before I did this. Community.
Okay. What was it like for you when you first became a teacher here?
Here
at GFSS.
Nervous. I'd worked for 1 year in Fort Nelson. Had decided to pack up and move down here on a whim. I went from a full-time continuing contract up there to a part-time contract down here because my wife had had thyroid cancer and we wanted to be closer to family, and I grew up in Castlegar, so it was a nice way to get home. So I was really nervous about the risk of taking a bit of a step backwards in my career, but really eager to work with the kids in Grand Forks. With between Brian Dorgelow and Kristen Dorgelow and Sarah Dorgelow, I knew some kids here and had really enjoyed meeting all of them. So
they're your cousins?
My wife's cousins.
So. How would you describe the atmosphere surrounding like GFSS? Like positive, negative?
I think it's changing. I feel like the atmosphere is evolving in a lot of ways. At times it feels like it's a bit of students versus staff. Like the students don't really see that we're putting in work for them. And I think that there's a lot of really wonderful teachers in the school who are, and I think it's starting to come around and kids are starting to really pick up on that. And I think it kind of goes half both ways, and that I think a lot of the teachers are starting to go out of the way to understand the students a bit better. So it's evolving.
Do you feel obligated to talk to students outside of your classroom?
No, I never feel obligated to talk to my students. I think teenagers and students are the coolest people in the world because the potential is so huge. And I think that, if you don't look forward to doing things, it's because you're looking at it as an obligation, not an opportunity. And I think that every time I talk to a kid, it's an opportunity to learn a little bit more about them, figure out who they are, how they fit in the school, and hopefully help them feel a little more safe in the school. So it's always positive. I really enjoy it.
When you go out of your way to make conversation with students, do you receive the same respect and kindness you put forward?
I think that's in life, right? Like if you open up and be a little bit vulnerable, every time you say hello to somebody, they could just ignore you, and then you feel pretty stupid. So that has happened sometimes. But I think like that, again, in life, if you put out respect, if you genuinely enjoy things, if you're genuinely engaged and let people know that you value them, generally speaking, you're going to get that back. Sometimes not, but you can't win them all. So.
Do you face lots of challenges as a teacher? If so, do you ever feel it outweighs the reward of being a teacher?
Yeah, there's tons of challenges in teaching. I've got, 300 kids in our school?
Something like that.
So 300 individuals with different needs, different challenges, different worries. And just when you think you know a student, something happens and you don't. There's no magic at the entrance of the school that makes everything that happens at home disappear. And so those challenges sometimes come out in really negative behavior towards me, a lot of disrespect towards me. And I think it never outweighs the value in what we do, because helping that one kid, for a lot of our students, the hardest thing, the most difficult thing to do is to show up to school some days. I think by honoring that and saying, hey, I don't need you to be perfect here today, just show up and put in an effort, I think that makes it a little bit easier. And really, I had some students do that for me when I was going through a really tough time in my first year teaching, and I'll never forget the gift they gave me in helping me work through some really challenging life experiences. And so now every day I try to offer it again. And even if I fail every single time, if I'm still trying, hopefully one day it'll catch on, right? So.
Do you have a hard time like understanding students considering you're an adult?
I try really hard to put myself in the student's shoes. I
try to always explain myself and give students an opportunity to explain themselves so I can learn from it. So even when students do things that are questionable or disrespectful or get me upset, I try to let them explain to me where it came from so I can understand them a bit more. Sometimes I don't get it, and I'm not. I know I'm not smart enough to know what every student's thing, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't even need to be, it's not even like it was about relating. Relating, understanding, you can't ever really understand anybody. You just have to approach it from a place of empathy and support. And if they feel that, hopefully we come around. I mean, the whole Snapchat thing blows my mind. But, you know, I don't know why. So taking pictures of your feet to send to your friend is not something I understand at all. But I don't need to understand that. So,
What's one positive thing you can tell me about GFSS? And what's one negative thing, or for better choice of words, something GFSS lacks?
I would really like to see a bigger communal area for students. The multipurpose, I think, is a beautiful space and a great starter, but it's not big enough. And so what happens is the hallways clear out every lunch hour. And I think community-wise, I think it's great to have, you know, students who want to go over to CANCO or whatever it's called.
Oh, we're still good. They can go to CANCO but want to come back and be part of the school. Positivity. A great thing about GFSS,
I think, is that for the most part everyone knows each other. A big improvement, and I know that I'm probably going to get some groans out of it, I think, is the cell phone rule. Not only just in the classroom, but I know students aren't on their phones in the hallways as much. And like, you can sit here now, usually when I'm in my classroom at lunch, it's crickets in the hallway, but you can hear voices, kids interacting.
Mm.
And I think that's such an important fallback that's really helped me. Like, I'm on my phone less.
Because I resented it at first, and then I actually kind of am starting to realize more and more.
Well, I don't think we ever realized how reliant we'd become on our phones for socialization.
The project was based on it. There's so much when we actually kind of stop being so consumed in it. We take the time to actually look at the other factors. It kind of surprises you.
Well, and that's why, like, even just saying hello to kids in the hallway, something I really enjoy doing, is because it's a face-to-face interaction, not through a phone or a screen that you can't filter. That says, how are you actually doing?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it says, I'm good, and you look at their face and their body language, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so you realize you have to have that conversation and pursue that relationship and say, hey, maybe I can help them a little bit today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important.
Do you ever feel out of place, you know, being in a high school again, even though you're a teacher?
No. I don't know. Out of place.
Like, everyone has, like, I guess, a different experience in high school, but, like, do you ever feel, like, did you ever have a bad experience that makes that being in high school kind of reminds you of?
I hated high school. I tried to drop out in grade 9. I was suicidal. Like, I was bullied relentlessly, and couldn't, in grade 9, I couldn't get out of the school fast enough. Grade 10, I went to social studies den with Mr. Carter and Mr. Knack, who became our principal, and in a lot of ways, not only did I, in my opinion, they saved the school, but they kind of saved my life and my development and allowed me to reach potential by seeing all that anger in me was actually something that could be harnessed and moved towards something positive. And so within that, like, it went from a space that I hated to a space that I wanted to be, because it had been saved for me in a way. I guess saved's a weird word for it, but saved for me by some teachers. I realized that I could do that change as a student. So by the time I was in grade 12, I ended up being valedictorian and really having a much more positive experience in school. And so for me, I don't feel ever out of place, because I think it's a good place where you can make change. Like, you can really impact life. I've worked jobs where I didn't feel like I was getting anything out of it or doing anything really valuable. And from that, like, the value in teaching and working with youth is phenomenal, right? It's the most important job in the world as far as I'm concerned. And yes, I am wildly biased. So I don't ever feel out of place. Sometimes I feel lost, overwhelmed by the challenges. You know, there are days where I sit and stare out the window and kind of go, how am I going to help as many people as I feel like I need to help? But even if you help one, it's more than you do if you're not doing it right. So,
mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself like misreading students? Like, you know, you might.
Oh yeah.
Think something else, and then kind of discover there's more to it than just that.
Yeah. Well, you just. I feel like I'm getting better at it, but you still make mistakes. I have off days where I'm exhausted and I'm a jerk to students unnecessarily, and I say or do something that has a negative impact on them. And I, because you can't know, right? Yeah, that there's so many people in the school that I can't be on every day. And I, up north, I really had a interesting. I was kind of frustrated that the students weren't doing their homework this one class, and one of the students, it was a difficult community. It had lots of issues with poverty in this particular grouping, and the student looks at me and goes, "Wiley, you want us to do homework? We don't have internet. Like, we don't. We can't afford that, and for you to expect that, like, no, we're not going to do the homework." I'm like, "Well, why didn't anybody tell me this?" He says, "Because we don't trust you yet. One day we will, but we don't yet." And so that was kind of my lesson. I've been completely misreading this entire cohort of kids and getting frustrated, and really the problem was me. And so, like, I do misread kids. When that happens, I generally try to go out of my way and apologize and have a conversation, say, I was wrong, because we are all wrong. But I'm hoping it's getting fewer and farther between, but I don't know. And if I have angered anybody who's listening to this, you can let me know. I'll buy you a coffee and say sorry, I promise.
Would you say GFSS has good relationships, like, among the teachers?
Yeah, like, I get, like, it's really neat. We're really, in this school, I think we're really lucky because we have a really diverse teaching staff. We have different teaching styles, we have different backgrounds, we have that. I think that really speaks to strength because students are so diverse, learners are so diverse. And by saying to them, hey, I may not agree with your methods, but I still respect the heck out of what you're doing, it means that the students get exposure to so much more, get so much different learning opportunities that hopefully will fit their needs. And then, like, beyond that, like, it's just fun. Like, it's, you talk to them, even on the weekends, we're all here working on the weekends, we're usually laughing in the hallway and catching up. We had some great team building exercises. And get to go for coffee with Ms. Madsen. I think she owes me a coffee, so, for this. So,
I think that's all I have for my questions. I even added a few in there. Well, thank you.
No worries. Thank you.